Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic are off today, but they continue this five-game homestand tomorrow when they welcome in Elfrid Payton and his New Orleans Pelicans. It's one of three more games on this current five-game run. They'll play again on Friday against Memphis, and then back at it on Monday when they host the Philadelphia 76ers. So here's what's on the docket today. The Orlando Magic Pod Squad did a really great conversation with Assistant General Manager Matt Lloyd earlier today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play that conversation because I thought it was noteworthy, I thought it was worthwhile, and I thought it was just an amazing peek behind the curtain of what it's like scouting this time of year with the NCAA tournament right around and the NBA draft looming just a few months away. So we're going to play that, we're going to get into it, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. All right, here we go.
What are you into right now?
So what we'll do is, this is going to be a little different this year. Our analytics staff has been dramatically expanded by Jeff Weltman over the last 2 years. And I think the opportunity
You know everyone on that
staff? I know all their names.
Good.
And where they went to college.
That's good.
My chance to now get to know them personally comes this week. So we're going to bring everyone into the conference room, our conference room, the basketball operations conference room, not plush like this one. But and we're going to put the games on, and we're going to order food, and we're going to have like real discussions about the games we're watching. And the goal is to kind of just watch one game, have the other games on, and integrate the analytics people into the conversation. So what are we seeing here? What have you guys seen here? I think it's the first step to kind of opening the door for the discussions we'll have heading into the draft.
Well, I have a question, though. Now, you brought up the analytics crew, and I don't know what you can get into and what you can't. We're always walking by there. I wonder what they're doing. They're feverishly working 20 hours a day, but I really have no idea what are they looking for specific things? Do each of them have assigned teams or assigned players? Like, how does it work?
Well,
the
proprietary information that we gain from them is something we could talk about on this podcast, right, but we will not.
Dang it. I was trying, Dante. I was trying to get like a big
work.
Scoop.
They are actually, so their group leader is David Bench, who's I've worked out with for 6 years. And basically when I got here 7 years ago, we had one person that was designated as like kind of an analytics and process person. And now we have seven over there. I don't even know. Maybe
there's a lot.
So just so the listeners know, they're in between George and I's office. So right. We have to walk when we go to bust each other's chops. We have to walk past them.
Right.
So I think what they're doing is, and I know what they're doing is they are really generating opinion from a different perspective. So we go and we watch the games and we try to assess their bodies and their games and their offense and defensive strengths. And they're looking at it from the standpoint of what their production is. And we have to respect that just because they're seeing everything. And I go to the Mountain West Conference tournament, watch a game. I can only see what I can see and what I can focus on. Those people are seeing everything that's happening at every point in the game. And so that has to be respected. And then they've had some wins, probably, I could say, over the last 2 years just in terms of their evaluations of players. So when we get in there and we start talking about it, the impetus has to be on just respecting their opinion because their opinion is valid.
Okay. So I should treat them better is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, we don't have to like walk past and say,
okay, I think I you should.
George
says
a lot of under your breath nerds type of thing whenever he walks past.
I do.
He
does not do that. Just to Anna.
Just to Anna. Anna Zhao, the our visualization person.
Yeah,
he does.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to you guys in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of how he views all of us.
Do you have data on college players? Is there analytical data? Is the same data available on college players as NBA players?
No, not the depth of it. So we'll have the box score data. We'll be able to like go through at this point in the season. Our window right now for where we're going to be drafting is pretty narrow. And I think the last 6 years that I've been here, six drafts that I participated in, we were pretty much locked into drafting in the top five at this point of the season.
Yes, we were.
So, and George is hitting himself in the head with the microphone right now. But so we don't have the depth of data that's available for the NBA because we don't have those cameras in every every building in college basketball. You know, like some of the lower conference teams, they don't have the capacity or the resources to install those cameras that the every NBA arena has. So that's like the next generation of statistical analysis is going to be, you know, putting those cameras into every arena and getting the data that those kind of produce. So what we do is we can replicate that by, you know, watching film and doing a lot of charting. And that's where we're getting to at this point in the season. We'll start charting stuff. Where does a guy get his shot from? How is he getting his shot? What was the defensive pressure when he took that shot? So while we don't have the same volume, we can still produce essentially the same quality just through a little bit more work. And the Magic organization and Jeff Weltman really was the driver of this, made a pretty significant investment in a company called Stats LLC out of Chicago that is going to provide us with a lot more proprietary data that's going to be available to basically no NBA team for 2 or 3 years, where we're going to be able to replicate some of the stuff that we're getting from the NBA at a little bit faster pace and to a lot more depth. So the Magic, to be able to have the comfort level of knowing those resources are behind us and the ability to pursue those type of resources, it's really comforting from the position that I'm in, just kind of attempting to really gather information all the time on players. So Jeff's been a driver of that, and it's going to be something real special going forward.
Okay, so I have a gathering information on players question. So as a former player, an older former player, you could even say, and I try not to be a get off my lawn kind of guy, right? I fall into that generation with Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and those guys. So the one and done. The guys are coming in.
You played?
Many years ago, yes.
I knew that looked funny.
You're not old enough to know that.
No,
so
I remember.
So the new generation of players coming in, every year we see at the top of the draft are usually guys with 1 year of experience in college. And those that are a little bit longer, you stay a little bit longer, you start to fall. So the information then that you're gathering about both of these, speak to that a little bit. To me, is like, where do you start when you're looking at an 18, 19-year-old kid? How far back are you going on gathering information?
Well, I think it's probably best to illustrate the response to that with a story.
Okay.
So the first time we really had the opportunity to see Aaron Gordon play, at least I did, was the under-19 World Championships in Prague, Czech Republic. He played for Team USA. He came off the bench, and he was basically like – he was the MVP of the whole thing because he was like basically a one-man press, and he played so hard that everything he got done production-wise was positive. So that's when the process really starts, is at those Team USA and USA Basketball events. And then really the USA Basketball is doing a really good job of identifying – a group of players and nurturing them through the process till they can ascend to the senior team at some point in the NBA. And that's where the process starts. Then it goes to the McDonald's All-American game, which will be this month in Atlanta. And we'll get to – our scouts will be there watching them practice for 3 days. And those practices tend to be a lot more competitive than a normal all-star game. The game in itself is just a big dunk fest and layups and stuff, but the practices are very competitive because the players are – they're competing for the attention and they're competing in front of all 30 NBA teams, and they know that. So that's where that process starts. I think the philosophy of your question is a really good one, because we get to the point as NBA people where we're always willing to take a risk on the potential of what someone could be, as opposed to appreciating at some senses what they are. You know, there's several senior prospects this year that are playing in the NCAA tournament that maybe have the tendency to be over analyzed, you know, and so it's paralysis by over analysis. You're just looking at everything Stetson guard George Galante can't do as a senior, as opposed to what he can do.
That list is long, by the way.
That list is long.
Super
yes.
long.
So we've
super
now growing. We've now like put all these senior prospects through the fine tooth comb of, and we've looked at, and it's just, you know, human nature. I think we tend to look at what a guy can't do as opposed to what they can do when they've been 4 years in college. So every organization approaches that a little bit differently because everyone's in a different cycle in their process. You know, at some point you have to take a risk on and tend to think organizationally we can get this guy to where we think he can be because he's just so talented. And he's 18 years old, and what's he going to look like when he's 25? What's he going to look like when he's 30? You know, there's more time. There's a bigger window to work with a guy. But there'll be a lot of seniors, I think, from this draft in particular, and every draft is different, that integrate themselves immediately into the NBA and are productive right away just because they do have experience and there's some value to that. So, again, every team's at a different state of their kind of process. I hate to use that word. It's so overused right now in sports, but it is what it is. I think that everyone has to look at things differently.
Jeff Weltman and John have talked about, especially Jeff, talks about bringing guys in, the character part of it. Or we want high character guys. So I guess my part of that question then is, this guy's an 18-year-old guy. How far do you go? Do you have to go back and talk to, you know, you talked about the U19 teams. Are you going back to AAU coaches, high school coaches, to principals, guidance counselors to talk about? Because, you know, if you look at a 19-year-old guy and you say, I need 5 years of data, you're going back to he's 14, 15 years old.
And the trick in that is to assess, were you the same guy you were when you were 16 from when you were 21?
Definitely not.
So
there was a lot of fluctuation.
That's right.
There, I would say.
That's right. So we have to know that the person is a good person. And I'll take one step back. Jeff and John, the success they've had, like, as scouts, just general, that one aspect of their job is so dramatic. Like, you can go back and look, and everyone has, you know, the one or two guys they missed on. It's impossible to be correct all the time, but relative to where they were picking in the draft and the success that they've had, you know, it is very important. So they've been really good at educating the staff on the way to look at things from a different perspective, a unique perspective. So we're really lucky to have the opportunity to kind of look at a different way of looking at things. So, you know, we have to be diligent on this intel collection. I guess we can call it intel collection and background information, because you're not the same. You weren't the same person when you were 17 to when you were 22. And you weren't the same person from when you were 17 to when you were 25. So how do we allow for that growth prospect, the growth process as people? We go back and try to identify patterns. So we'll talk to as many people as we can possibly talk to, and what are the patterns telling us about the person's character? And then we just really, we have to understand who we are when we introduce something into the equation, as it were, you know, of the team. How are they going to react to this player, that player? And then the group dynamic has to be taken into account. So it's all just information gathering constantly.
All right, we do have to duck in a quick break, but when we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we're going to keep this conversation with Matt Lloyd going because it's wonderful. In the second segment, he's going to talk a little bit about what they saw about Markelle Fultz, what made him different, and the first time that he saw Markelle play and who he saw him play with. All that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Welcome back. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, rolls along. We are playing a conversation that the Atlanta Magic Pod Squad had earlier today with Matt Lloyd. All right, let's get back to it.
I don't mean to dominate the questions, but I got along these lines. So, as
this is good, because he asks us this and we have no idea.
Yeah.
So we get some good answers.
I think this is fascinating. I think our listeners would appreciate it, because it has changed so much, right? So based on the way the business, and this is just the business of the NBA now, is it a disincentive, or if I was advising a young player, I won't put you in this, but if I'm advising a young player, is there a disincentive to stay in that third, fourth year in college?
I just refuse.
It just depends on the player.
Yeah, it depends on the player. And I refuse to believe that there's a disincentive to doing it when you have the opportunity to grow. But it's always going to be case by case. So what is the player development plan at the college the player that you're advising is at? Who's the coach?
Right.
What's the team? What's your teammates going to look like next year? Who's coming back? Who's coming in? But just the process and growth process that you go through in college is so important, and that applies to NBA players too. You know, there's players dotted all over the league that were wildly underdrafted, who became good because they had the experience they had in college, and they didn't try to accelerate the process. You know, by going to become a professional and having lots more pressure heaped upon them than they ever had before, and then kind of maybe flaming out a little bit, you know, and there's cases of that happening too. But again, it's to cast like a wide blanket and a yes, no answer on that. It's not like an analog situation. So you have to be able to say, he's Jeff Turner. These are the things that kind of set him off. These are the things that he is very good at, and he'll be able to handle the pressure. I could feel comfortable with that. Bang, we'll introduce him into like our team narrative. Right. But there might be George Galante at age 18, maybe not ready for that. And so you have to be able to be transparent with George and say, hey, we need one more year here. You know, we need one more year and let's just try to grow. And these are the things we're going to work on.
Which is what the new evaluation process for the non-declared play. They can come in, and if they don't declare, they can test the waters, right?
At these
camps and things like that.
Yeah,
so that's
NBA,
a pretty good thing.
The NBA really was kind of forward thinking on this, and they're going to allow a lot more volume of people to test the waters and to get the feedback that they need to make that decision constructively and responsibly. They're going to try to take out as many middlemen as they possibly can and just get the information from the source.
Right.
So the NBA is kind of, they're really trying to promote the opportunity for good feedback as opposed to, you know, shooting from the hip type thing. And it's going to be a positive outcome for all.
So, Matt, obviously there's a bunch of data you've collected. You've scouted. You've gone all over. You've gone international. You've gone domestic in this country. What changes everyone's analysis between now and the draft? Is it meeting the individual? Is it bringing them in for a workout? Could any part of it be how they play in the tournament? Does that factor at all? What changes your data, and how do you arrive at a decision?
At this point.
And who's the guy going to be?
Yeah, well, let's just.
Too much?
Okay. Let's just take some names. No, I'm just kidding. I think at this point in the season, the process of the basketball evaluation is near complete. And if you put too much on games being played on TV in the NCAA tournament, there's an opportunity to make a mistake. Everything has to be weighed over the course of the player's full body of work, basketball-wise, and properly weighted that way, right? You can't take a player and say, oh, gosh, he played great in these five games. That must be who he is. He's got to be he's played over 30 games this year. They played in some cases 100 games, 120 games over their college career. Those all have to be kind of taken into account. The thing that shifts the draft order significantly at this point is that pre-draft process. And some guys will go to the combine and test their physical skills and their athletic skills, and sometimes that could be, you know, data points that we didn't previously have that get entered in and weighed differently. Pre-draft interview process is really, really vital. Really vital, because that's where we have the opportunity to like lay out all the evidence that we've gathered and see how the player reacts. And some of the interviews you do are just startling, because there'll be some that are super prepared. There'll be some that aren't prepared. There'll be some that are mature. There'll be some that are immature. And maybe you have to plan for working with them a little bit more than you maybe would have anticipated. So those are the two factors I think that have some emphasis on changing the order a little bit. And you just have to keep that in mind as you're going into June and saying, okay, well, why is our opinion changing based on this interview? And it's not a never negative question. It can be a positive too. Gosh, we didn't know he was such a great kid, and he was so energetic, and he was so intelligent and so willing to work and learn. But those are the things I think. The basketball evaluation is 90% done at this point.
I want to ask you about one of our current players who went through this process just a couple of years ago. He's 20 years old. He was the number one pick in the draft in 2017. What was scouting and preparing to draft in that year's draft. What was Markelle Fultz? How was he analyzed? Where is he now? Where do you think he could be?
So that was the and correct me if I'm wrong, George. That was the draft we took Jonathan Isaac. Okay, yep. So that was the year that Jeff came in. That was his first draft. And this goes back to JT's question. I think a lot of that is you just have to be constantly collecting information. And when he was in Philly, we have to constantly be collecting information. I'm really lucky. I'm really lucky to work with Prosper Kuanga and Bill Pope. And Prosper oversees our whole college scouting process, and Bill oversees our whole pro scouting process. So once they're introduced into the NBA, now it's Bill's responsibility. He can read all the all of our information that we've gathered on Markelle, and then he can start to identify where growth has happened or maybe it hasn't happened. And that's his impetus. So coming in, the guy was a spectacular basketball prospect. I had gone down to Valdivia, Chile, and this is another side story, but we were planning our scouting schedule for the summer. Valdivia, Chile, who's going? Who's going to go? It's the U19 Tournament of the Americas. Who's going to go? No one. So I said, all right, I'll go. And it's a 20-hour flight to get there, and it's the middle of winter in Chile because we're below the equator. And I get there, and there's a penguin on the – because it's closer to the South Pole than it is to the equator. And there's a penguin walking on the street, and I'm like, why am I here? But that was the first time I saw Mobamba play too. So because they were on the team together. And Markelle was just so different than every player there. And there's eight teams in North and South America, Canada, Uruguay, and it's all the junior teams, the under-19 teams. And Markelle was going into his freshman year at Washington. Mo was going into his senior year in high school. The majority of the players were going into their senior year in high school. Markelle was one of the few that was going to be a freshman because he was a little bit younger. He just was so spectacular as a basketball prospect. Just the things he could do physically and athletically and skill-wise were just at a completely other level. And then he went to Washington, and it was just more of an extension of that same dynamic ability.
And that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Thank you so much for the Atlanta Magic Pod Squad. A special thank you to Matt Lloyd for taking the time out of his day and joining them. It was a great conversation. If you want to know where you find it, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn. All you have to do, search Orlando Magic Pod Squad, rate, subscribe. They've got a lot of great conversations throughout the year with some of the former Magic players. All right, that does it for us. We're back same time, same place tomorrow, guys.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.